The Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
The Gulf South.
It's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Monday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Colado and Alicia Quipido. Hey, guys. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
Yes.
And happy Feast of St. Anthony of Padua. This is a big day for Damien.
Yeah, he's one of my main
men. Yes. Go to.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
St. Anthony.
St. Anthony. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty, ever-living God, who gave St. Anthony of Padua to your people as an outstanding preacher and an intercessor in their need, grant that, with his assistance, as we follow the teachings of the Christian life, we may know your help in every trial. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Anthony of Padua, pray for us.
For us, we have events in our listening area. We will tell you all about that'll be in just a few moments. But we're joined with Alan Migliorato. He's co-author of the book Failing Forward: Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. And his topic is quite interesting. It's about fostering vocations to the priesthood in religious life in our homes. So he'll give us his insights on this topic. Dr. Tina Holland joins us. She is the president of Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady University, and she is going to give us her monthly update today. And Ashley Gilliam, she is the youth programs director for the Southeast Louisiana Right to Life, and she's going to talk about the Pulse Leadership Institute. They've been doing this for years now, but I think really now more than ever is when young adults can participate in the Pulse Leadership Institute. So she'll give us details all about this coming up. That'll be later on in today's show. So I don't know about you, Damien, but I was soaking up the good weather this weekend. I know we're going to be talking about weather in just a few moments.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the heat is on, to say the least, in more ways than one, I guess. I've got my fingers crossed that the decision will come out today, Roe versus Wade from the Supreme Court. But I'm not referring to that type of heat that they may be getting. It's going to be a hot one, though. Hot and humid is what you can expect. No real chance of rain in the forecast to cool us down, not only today, but it's pretty much going to be that way Tuesday and Wednesday as well. High close to 95, low close to 75. Those are your extremes, and winds are out of the south-southwest at 9. So you're going to get a warm breeze if you get one at all. And as I said, temperatures already in the 80s in some areas. 85, the high right now in Biloxi in our area. And elsewhere, 80 degrees in Baton Rouge and on the North Shore. It's 83 in New Orleans and the cool spot, if you want to call it that. 78 degrees in Houma Thibodeau. So, y'all do anything exciting for the weekend?
Just a fun... I'll kind of
just hung out,
you know.
Yeah, all kind of, you know.
All right.
I was by the pool. I was trying to stay refreshed.
What's that?
Yes, of course. I was by the pool, and we went to the beach. So I just wanted to be outside. Of course, staying hydrated, but it was gorgeous weather. So
that's Gabby's every weekend. She loves the beach life.
Well, I just love the heat.
Yeah,
she loves
the pool life, the beach life, the heat. I'm all about it.
Well, nothing wrong with that. It's good to be close to the water when it's hot like it is.
That's right.
And it's also good to consume a lot of water as well. So, all right. Well, there you go. We gave you some advice. Filled you in on what we did over the weekend. Y'all are all set for the week. It's Monday, folks. It's time to wake up. It's 5 after the hour. Good morning.
A good Monday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, Offer no resistance to one who is evil. Whenever someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one to him as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand him your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go with him for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on one who wants to borrow. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
The law of Talion limited blood feuds and the fear of retaliation. It opposed, for example, Lamech's boastful vengeance. I have slain a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. During the time of Moses, the law of Talion was an advancement in justice because it established a principle of equity. The eye of the rich and powerful was equal to the eye of the poor and helpless. It takes genuine courage, even heroism, not to fight violence with similar violence. When we do not strike back in kind, but confront our adversary with compassion, love, and forgiveness, we may win his heart, just as Jesus wins ours. Jesus' teaching here does not mean, however, that Christians should not protect the right of others. For example, parents protecting their children or their future security. We can offer our cheek to be struck again, but I cannot offer another's cheek to be struck. Consider the following poem about vengeful hearts. 6 humans trapped by happenstance in black and bitter cold. Each one possessed a stick of wood, or so the story's told. The dying fire in need of logs, the first man held his back. On the faces round the fire, he noticed one was black. The next man, looking across the way, saw one not of his church and couldn't bring himself to give the fire his stick of birch. The third one sat in tattered clothes. He gave his coat a hitch. Why should his log be put to use to warm the idle rich? The rich man sat back and thought of all the wealth he had in store and how to keep what he had earned from the lazy, shiftless poor. The black man's face bespoke revenge as the fire passed from sight, for all he saw in his stick of wood was his chance to spite the white. The last man of this forlorn group did naught except for gain. Giving only to those who gave was how he played the game. Their logs held tight in death's still hands was proof of human sin. They didn't die from the cold outside. They died from the cold within. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy Sagers, and also Father Chris Decker. It is 11 after 7 on a Monday morning. So glad you could join us. June 13th, Bayou Parish Bible Camp is coming up, folks. Wow. That's right. The churches of St. Anne in Napoleonville, Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Plattenville, and also St. Philomena Church in Labadyville will host a summer Bible camp for youth in the 5th through 8th grades, and it begins a week from today, June 20th, and it will go through Friday, June 24th, from 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. The theme is called Presence, which, if you're going to attend camp, that's a good theme. You need mm-hmm. to be present. And it will take place at the St. Labadyville Community Center, located on Franklin Street in Labadyville. Everyone is invited as far as 5th through 8th graders are concerned. If you want to register for more information, now's the time. Go to BayouLandChurches.com.
All right. And it's Eucharistic Revival is kicking off. The bishops of the United States are calling for a 3-year grassroots revival of devotion and belief in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. We believe that God wants to see the movement of Catholics across the U.S. healed, converted, formed, and unified by an encounter with Jesus in the Eucharist. So get ready because it kicks off on Corpus Christi for this weekend. So on Saturday, June 18th, if you're in the Diocese of Biloxi, you can go to the Cathedral of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's on Howard Avenue. And that will be Saturday from 10 a.m. until noon. And in the Diocese of Baton Rouge on Sunday from 10:30 to 12:30 at St. Joseph Cathedral in Baton Rouge. There's Mass followed by a Eucharistic procession.
Wow, I love that. Okay, so let's talk about Retrovi Weekends. This is for troubled marriages. It's also a program designed to provide help and support for married couples who are undergoing difficulties in their relationship. It is sponsored by the Catholic Church, and it's open to couples of all faiths. It's proven to help couples who are troubled and stressed, or if the relationship has grown cold and distant. The next Retrovi Weekend will be June 24th through the 26th at the William J. Kelly Retreat Center in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. For registration or additional information, please go to the Retrovi website at helpourmarriage.org. So, Ann, this retreat center is actually quite beautiful. It's a couple of blocks from the Bay, so very beautiful location as well. Yeah.
And I guess it's not inappropriate to follow it up with an engaged couple retreat. You know, the Office of Marriage and Family Life of the Diocese of Baton Rouge is sponsoring a virtual retreat for engaged couples. Called to Love is the title. It's Saturday, June 25th from 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. and on Sunday, June 26th from 9 a.m. to 11:30, and it's followed by a pre-recorded Mass. The retreat will help engage couples to recognize how God is a partner in their relationship and calling them to marriage, and to understand what God is really asking of them in marriage so they know how to respond to that call. So always good to go to. If you'd like more information, go to diobr.org and look for programs for engaged couples.
Right. And HALOS, which is Healing After Loss to Overdose or Suicide, meets tonight at 7 p.m. at St. Margaret Mary Evangelization in Slidell. That's on Robert Boulevard in Slidell. If you're interested, you can call or text Donna at 985-201-2143.
Wow. Lots of events, huh, Damien?
We don't
have time to talk about the next few, but if we do, then we'll continue, because I have a really good one on Sacred Relics of the Saints tonight, June 13th, 6:30 p.m. at St. Joan of Arc in Laplace. It's going to be a great one.
Yeah, go see those relics. All right, folks, 15 after the hour. Don't go away. We're coming back with Big Al Migliorato, that is, here on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for June 13th. Today we celebrate Saint Anthony of Padua. Anthony longed to be one of those closest to Jesus by dying for the faith. From his home in Portugal, he entered the Franciscan Order and set out to preach to the Moors in Spain. However, an illness prevented Anthony from achieving his goal, so he sailed instead to Italy, where he was stationed in a small hermitage. There he spent most of his time praying, reading the scriptures, and doing humble tasks. At an ordination, where no one was prepared to speak, the humble and obedient Anthony hesitantly accepted the task. Anthony's sermon was astounding to those who expected something rough and unprepared. He became recognized as a great man of prayer, as well as a great scripture and theology scholar. After leading the friars in northern Italy for 3 years, Anthony made his home in Padua, where he died in 1231. Popular devotion has nominated Anthony as finder of lost objects, but he also could be the patron of those who find their lives completely uprooted and set in new and unexpected directions. He is a perfect example of turning one's life completely over to Christ. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Good morning. It's 19 minutes after the hour on Wake Up. Damien Collado on guitar.
Air guitar, yeah.
We're joined this morning with our friend Alan Migliorato. Alan is the founder of Adventure Catholic Youth Leadership Formation Training. He is the author of The Manly Art of Raising a Daughter and co-author of Failing Forward Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. Good morning, Alan.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hope you all had a good weekend.
Thank you. You too. Well, you know, Alan, a couple of months ago, my son and I went to a mother-son brunch at his school. And the speaker was a young priest here in the Diocese of Baton Rouge and his mother. And it struck me, he was talking about when he told his parents that he felt called to the priesthood. And when he was talking about this, he talked about how his mother seemed almost more excited than he did when he shared his calling with his parents. But he also noted that that a large percentage, and I can't remember what number he threw out, of vocations are really squelched by parents. That really surprised me to know that there are young men and women out there who feel a calling or have a calling, and their parents are discouraging that.
Yeah, that does happen. You know, you as a parent, you're thinking, I'm never going to have grandchildren. This is my only son, and he's saying that God's calling him. You know, like, right. Your God might be calling you, but, you know, I'm calling you a little louder is what parents, you know, tend to think sometimes. Like, we want grandkids. And, there can be good intentions, but bad mm-hmm. results when parents do that. So, I mean, firstly, the vocation that children are called to, you know, that we can be called to. And so what is a vocation? And really, it's a word used by the church to mean, you know, God's work, how God's work happens through us. Mm-hmm. And so we're called the vocation of parent, you know, of wife, of husband, of all kinds of different things, you know, or mm-hmm. to be single and chaste. And the vocation is important because if you think about, this is one, like, my favorite verse to go to, it's Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12, 4-6. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of activities, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. So God doesn't need our help, but he uses our gifts and the activities that we do in our life to help those around us. And each of us is a child of God with an important call. Mm-hmm. So as parents, I think it's important to truly understand, to seek understanding with our kids and say, why do you feel called to do that? You know, why do you feel called to be married? And we do that when my daughter just got married, you know, and I went through this, you know, this whole thing with her. And it's like, well, why do you feel called to marry this man? Why do you love this man? Like, do you see a future with him? Do you see, what do you see? Do you see a family? Do you see going through hard times? Do you see a focus on God? You know, and all of these answers were not just thrown out, yes, but they were prayerful thoughts and, you know, and discernment. Mm-hmm. And so for us as parents, when we do have a child that says, I'd be kind of interested in seeing, you know, what the life of a priest or life of a nun looks like or the religious life looks like, we have to take the same steps mm-hmm. and say, okay, well, why do you feel that way? You know, talk to me about that. Explain, or not even explain, but just mm-hmm. kind of walk me through how you got to this decision and why you feel called to do that. And let's spend some time in prayer, you know, and just like in marriage, you don't want to rush into something. And right. so that's what discernment is kind of drawing out in prayer a thought process that allows God's will to happen in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Well, it's interesting to me that that approach, it just seems different to me. I think, I don't know. You know, I don't know about if my son came to me and said he feels
what
like
would
he
you
was,
do?
That he was, I think I would just be so happy. Oh, I don't think okay. I'd say, well, what yeah, do you think that? I don't know.
Well, it's good to be excited.
Right.
But Alan's right, though. You have to make sure
them.
You discern because
yes.
you, no matter what vocation, and that's the key.
Right.
Vocation is a word that is in various mm-hmm. aspects.
Yes.
You know, we have a vocation as not only
right.
marriage, mm-hmm. but also as parents.
Right, right.
And yes. Let me give you an example. So okay. when my middle daughter just broke up with her boyfriend, who she thought that she was going to marry. Now, the entire time in their relationship, my wife and my mom, they're like, oh, I can just see you guys getting married. And I'm like, stop that. Like, knock it off.
Yes.
Because you put too much pressure. And mm-hmm. just the same way when we have a child that comes to us and says, I want to be a priest, and it's like, oh my gosh, I did something right. Finally, I did something right. He's going to be a priest. I got a chair in heaven saved for me. I got an inn. You know, I know an inside guy, two inside guys now. So, like, we got to slow that process down because
yes.
it ends up putting undue pressure on our children because they don't right. want to disappoint us. In any way, they don't want to disappoint us. And that's why I told my daughter, I'm like, look, if he's the guy, and she got mad at me when she's like, why do you keep saying if? And I would tell her, because I don't know if he is, and neither do you. This
right.
is a process. You don't just jump into it. right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I did. I only knew my wife for a month and a half, and I got married. It'll be 29 years this year. But there's not everybody has that. Not everybody has that direct feel, and sometimes you do, and that's fine. But I still suggest, like, taking time to discern. Right. And because we put so much pressure on our kids, it's like, wow, my mom's so happy. She's never been this happy before. When I told her I wanted to be a priest, she was so ecstatic. And now I don't hear that call anymore. Or now it's turned from wanting to be a priest to entering the religious life for a while and maybe being married. We think of that as a failure. And we can't, because that's their vocational call. We've got to support our children and to let them discern and discern with them.
Yes, you're right. You're right. I do. I agree with that. So, Alan, let's talk about it. It's because that we do have a priest shortage. And what would you suggest for people who want to really foster that? I try to say to my kids, particularly to my son, you know, when you're grown and you're married or you're a priest or you're a, you know, I kind of go through the little list and he's always looks at me like, Mom, you know, but I feel like talking about it, being open to a calling is a good thing. What do you think?
So here's my take on that. I think that priests need to be more involved with our youth, and I understand why they're not because of the sex scandal that the church went through, and there's caution on their side. I get all that, but that should not keep us from having prayerful men, you know, come and talk to our children. We can be there, you know, if we're uncomfortable with it, we can be there, but we shouldn't foster this imaginary wall between priests and our kids. And we have to have pastors and priests who are getting involved with our youth and talking to them. And you know, vocational talks at churches, at Catholic schools, those are great. You know, and it's one of those things where, you know, some kid will say, I remember years ago a girl said, oh, I'd be interested in being a nun. Everybody kind of laughed, and I was like, oh, why is that funny? You know, and you kind of talk them down off the ledge. It's like, it's not funny. It might be uncomfortable. It's kind of like laughing at a funeral. I mean, it's the way that people kind of deal with an uncomfortable thought because that's something that they don't hear. It's just like saying, you know, when I told my friends I was going to go marry my wife only after knowing her for a month, they're like, are you out of your mind? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's, I didn't really care what they thought because I heard that call. And we've got to, you know, kind of support our children that way as well.
Yes. Yes.
Alan, do you know if they are doing talks in schools, Catholic schools now, priests, as well as even the diaconates, you know, going to the schools and talking about vocations as an opportunity for them?
Does, yeah.
They do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
At
I was
school.
Wondering
Catholic
if they were.
Catholic schools here, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Catholic schools around here, they have, you know, like a vocational week where they have the priest that'll have, like, they'll have pizza. We call it pizza with the pastor. And I usually go with our pastor, and we'll go to the Catholic high school and just talk about, you know, different types of vocations and then try to grab some new kids for the youth group and get, you know, service opportunities. But just working, even if it's like digging in a garden next to a priest, you can realize, okay, this guy's a real human being. Mm-hmm. He's got real struggles and real temptations, and he overcomes them with prayer. And what a better way to live my life. But it doesn't mean that I have to be a priest.
Right.
And just because there's a shortage of, you know, of chemists doesn't mean we're going to shove our kids into being a chemist.
That's true.
The same with being a priest. God will take care of it, but we've got to enter this with prayer.
Right. That's true. I do love that growing up back when I was in school, priests were almost, you know, in a little protection bubble, you know, like you just did it. Well, you didn't see them out and about. They weren't hanging out with the youth. They weren't, and we're starting to see more of that, which I love. I think it's great for the kids to see. I know my son's school has sisters who are there and always hanging out there from Sister Dulcie's ministry. So it's wonderful for them to see. And our bishop, actually, Bishop Duca, does a wonderful job of visiting and encouraging. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any last minute tips there, Alan, before we let you go?
No, I would just say, you know, enter into any vocational talk with your children and don't close off any door to any vocation, you know, whether it's a single and chaste for the rest of their life, whether it's the call to the religious life, the priesthood, or married life, just allow that call to work through that and talk and walk with your children through that discernment.
Wonderful. Alan Migliorato, where can everybody find out more information about you and your books?
Oh my gosh. Go on Facebook. You can find us at Adventure Catholic on Facebook or adventurecatholic.com. We have a website.
Okay, great. All right. Well, we will chat with you next Monday.
Okay. God bless, guys. Thanks. Have a wonderful week.
God bless you. Alan McGlorado, author of Failing, or co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. Check him out at adventurecatholic.com. Hey, stick around. Dr. Tina Holland, president of Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady University in Baton Rouge, joins us to tell us what's going on there. They are always busy and doing great things. It's 1:30 on Wake Up.
35 after the hour on a Monday morning, June 13th. Happy St. Anthony Day to everyone. And with us right now, Dr. Tina Holland, president of Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady University. She's here to give us a monthly update, but more importantly, we're going to talk, I hope, about the Franciscan experience. Good morning, Dr. Holland.
Good morning. How are you today?
If I was any better, I'd probably be St. Anthony. He is just one of my favorite saints. He's a Franciscan, too, at that,
That's
isn't
That's right. Perfect.
Absolutely.
Well, perfect timing to talk with you today. So the Franciscan experience is coming up next month. In fact, it's almost a month away to the date. Tell us a little bit about what is going on with that, because I believe it's a hidden gem that you guys are doing for young juniors and seniors in high school.
Well, it is indeed an important annual event for rising juniors and seniors. And this year, it is particularly important because we're going to be doing some really neat things. Each year, the leadership of the Franciscan experience changes it up a little bit. Of course, every year it involves some it involves fellowship, it involves prayer, service, as well as it has an academic element to it in theology with the Franciscan and Catholic intellectual tradition.
Mm-hmm. Yes, in fact, the challenge focuses on intellectual, physical, and spiritual, which I believe are key to really forming a good soul.
Well, absolutely. You have to engage all aspects of a person, especially a young person, because there's so much going on with them all at one time. So in order to really engage, you know, get them immersed into something, you've got to get all of their senses involved. But, you know, this year we're going to have 35. It's our largest group of participants to date. And every year it's experienced growth. The theme this year is belong, and that's relative to 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, where, you know, the body of Christ is the narrative, and you know, that's really everything's going to go back to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, there's so much isolation, especially among young people, and I think COVID had a lot to do with that. So much that separates us, and students just feel entirely alone. So what is it that we can do to encounter one another by encountering Christ?
And
that's why that body of Christ narrative.
Yes, and we were talking just a little while ago to Alan Migliorato, focusing on discerning vocations, and part of the Franciscan experience helps those young people do that.
That's absolutely right. In fact, the students this year are going to have this activity that they're calling the escape room. And it has something to do with how the students are going to help St. Claire to discern her vocation to follow Francis, to follow Christ through Francis, and to escape from her uncle, who holds her captive because he doesn't want her leaving her comfortable life and leaving her family. And the really neat thing that they're doing is for the students to see how technology can actually bring, have positive f- effects of people working together rather than to be such a force for isolation. Mm-hmm. And we're taking our simulated environment teaching hospital technology, our high fidelity simulation gear, and actually creating a simulated escape scenario.
Wow.
Where I will program the mannequins to actually be characters in this scenario.
Oh my gosh.
That is going to be
amazing.
Are you guys going to be able to video record this so we can see it too?
Well, oh my God.
I am just now learning about this. I have nothing to do with the brilliance behind this. That would be that would be Tyler Trahan and the simulation faculty, who are all clinical people, you know. Yes. But it's going to provide a really fun way of introducing the students on how to build community, because they're going to develop these escape rooms. It's also going to introduce them to incredible technology.
Sure.
That in a positive way.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about this year's PFE. Of course, Father Josh Johnson, who typically is involved in PFE, is going to be a special guest speaker, as well as some of our alumni from the theology program from Fran U. They'll be talking about vocation.
Yeah.
And, you know, understanding how to listen to God's call, prayerfully discern where there is an overlap of those three considerations of where you have aptitude or ability, what is interesting to you or, you know, brings you passion, and then where is there a need? And where those three things overlap, that's where you center your prayer. So you say, you know, God, tell me what you are calling me to be and to do, so that I can, you know, reach my fullness in you.
Yeah, we're talking to Dr. Tina Holland, president of Franciscan University in Baton Rouge, and we're touching on, in particular, the Franciscan Experience, which is a great program, a six-day overnight summer theology institute of sorts. And I believe it's held at the, maybe it won't be all at the Tracy Center, or will it be?
Well, that's where the students stay, and that's kind of their base camp.
Okay.
But they do service out in the community, and they'll be on campus, obviously, for a good portion during this escape room activity.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So they're all about town, but their base of operations is the Tracy Center.
Well, the three pillars of the experience is faith, theology, and service. And, you know, you guys follow what St. Francis heard God say, go rebuild my church. So what are the service aspects, real quick, that they'll be participating in during the 6 days?
Yes. Typically, they go to St. Vincent de Paul, and they go really to get to know the residents, to, you know, lock arms with them, and to engage them, and then to do something typically to make the their living situation more comfortable. Exactly what their project is this year, I don't know, but they will. It usually involves lots of scrubbing or, you know, cleaning and cooking. But they do that in a way where they are side by side with the residents and get to know them as fellow human beings, you know, not in any way where they are somehow above them. You know, there's a really dignified way that the leaders of the experience bring the students to service.
Dr. Holland, we got about 30 seconds left. Anything else happening at Franciscan U, which I know there is, but it's summertime, but anything you want to bring to the forefront?
Oh, certainly. Swing by the corner of Brittany and Picardy and take a look at St. Francis Hall.
It's looking good.
The brick is going up. It's really looking like a building now. It's so, so exciting. So I will be finishing up at just about Christmas time, which is appropriate. But yeah, swing on by that corner and take a look. And I ask everybody, please pray for Fran Yu, because we want nothing more than to rebuild his church.
Yes, indeed. Well, Dr. Tina Holland, thank you for being with us this morning. By the way, if you're interested in the Franciscan experience, you can go to franu.edu, but they're not signing up until 2023 now. This class is closed. We'll be back with more on Wake Up.
It's 48 past the hour on Wake Up. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Our next guest is Ashley Gilliam. She is the Youth Programs Director for Southeast Louisiana Right to Life. And today she joins us to talk about the Pulse Leadership Institute. Good morning, Ashley.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing great. Tell us a little bit about Pulse. We have actually been, I've been hearing about it for years now. I'm so glad it's continuing to happen. I think now more than ever, this is such a critical program for young adults. So tell us a little bit about it.
Sure. So Pulse Leadership Institute is our week-long training for high school and college-age students. And it is really intended to equip the next generation of pro-life leaders so that they're able to uphold that dignity of life in our communities. And so during Pulse Leadership Institute, students from eighth grade until they're done with college can come and learn how to have pro-life conversations and hear from a lot of our local and national speakers on a lot of the pro-life issues. And we really take that deep dive into learning about not just abortion, but all the life issues, such as human trafficking, end-of-life issues, and beginning-of-life issues like stem cell research.
Wow, that's a lot of topics to cover. You also talk about how not only are you stationary in one place where you have conversations, you learn more from speakers, but you also go out into the community and do a leisure field trip. So where do you go, and what can those who attend learn from this?
Yes, so we want to make sure our students have fun, so we're going to take a fun field trip, like a bowling alley, but we're also going to be doing things like visiting pregnancy centers, visiting our state capital, and visiting campuses so students can have real-life conversations with people and learn in a safe environment how to have those conversations. And so those are the trips we take, and those are really just made so that students are able to get out into our community and see the effects of pro-life activism in our state.
Ashley, I am curious to know how long you've been doing or participating in Pulse and putting this on, but do you also get participants in that are young adults who are maybe on the fence between pro-life and pro-choice, or they are pro-choice and they attend something like this?
Yeah, so I started at Louisiana Right to Life about a year ago, and so I was able to go to Pulse Leadership Institute last year and help to lead that with my coworkers. And it was great to see students from all walks of life, and there were some students who were really passionately pro-life who just wanted to learn more and empower themselves with that education. And then there were some students who were kind of on the line, who just wanted to know what it meant to be in the pro-life movement or why we believe what we believe. And I saw a huge change in those students, especially as they were exposed to just the truths of science, the truths of personal testimonies and everything like that. And they were really able to understand what it is we're fighting for and what it is they are standing for in their communities.
I think that social media plays a big role in having the decision made for young adults these days, especially high schoolers and those just entering college, when anyone can just make a video and post it within seconds and it go viral. Ashley, talk about how important it is now more than ever when we're waiting for the Supreme Court to make a decision this month on the Roe versus Wade. You know, we have heard it with the leak. It's gotten so much traction, of course, and tensions building up. How important is this Pulse Leadership Institute now to educate and prepare young adults for the decision that is to come?
I think this is one of the most important years for Pulse Leadership Institute. I and the other people I work with have been in high schools and on college campuses seeing the pushback from people who are pro-abortion and seeing how pro-life students are being torn down. And that's really disheartening. Mm-hmm. But seeing these students go through these camps and go through, we have weekend camps, we have this week-long camp. And so watching these students come out and know how to stand for themselves is so, so important, because when they're being fed lies through social media like that, and when they are being mm-hmm. told that they shouldn't believe these things, it can be empowering just mm-hmm. for a student to see other pro-life students around them and to know that they have that community, but also the education, so that they can really, they know what they're saying when they're talking. They don't feel pressured to just give in and to give yes. up their values.
You keep saying the word empowering, but I also keep hearing the word in my head, courage, because I think it takes a lot of courage these days to be pro-life. There's so much anger out there, especially on social media, especially with the leak. I've been seeing so much anger from the pro-choice community with this decision that we're going to find out soon. Any advice that you can give to young adults, or maybe parents of young adults who would like for their child to learn more about this, or for the upcoming decisions, any quick tips that you can give to really stand for what you believe in?
I would say for parents and students, just start the conversation. I know it can be intimidating and overwhelming at times, but when you first start that conversation, when you make that bold first step, it can do wonders. First of all, you'll meet people who you didn't even know were pro-life. But even when you don't, you'll find that this might be scary, but there are a lot of people willing to have just normal conversations with you, just wanting yeah. to hear your opinion. And if you really listen to the other person and you share your opinion with respect and with love and compassion, a lot of people are very open to hearing what you have to say. So as long as you're going out there and starting that conversation, especially parents with their children or grandparents with their grandchildren, starting that conversation mm-hmm. and doing that with love and compassion, you can get farther than you ever thought you would.
Yeah, stand your ground, take it to prayer. And I think Pulse is a great opportunity to start there as well. If you don't know where to start, you want to continue this role of being pro-life. So when is the next Pulse week, and where can people go to sign up?
So Pulse Leadership Institute this year is July 11th through 15th. It's going to be in Baker, Louisiana, right outside of Baton Rouge. And people can go to prolifepulsela.com to sign up and to find more information.
Is July, are there any other ones happening this year, or July is the only one?
Yes, there's going to be weekend camps in Acadiana is going to be in November, and then there will be spring camps, and those dates will be released a little bit later on for New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and Central Louisiana.
Okay, great. I wanted to make sure that they were all over the place. So Ashley Gilliam, Youth Programs Director for Southeast Louisiana Right to Life, thank you so much for joining us today and telling us a little bit more about the Pulse Leadership Institute.
Thank you so much, Gabby.
I think that we need to continue to pray for Louisiana Right to Life and all those pro-life groups across the country as we wait for the decision, which will be, it could be today, it could be later this week, it could be next week, we just don't know. So, you know, as we prepare for that day, so, yeah, and for peace and prayer.
Yeah. They say it's coming in June, so we'll know. It could be mm-hmm. today. Mm-hmm. Well, St. Anthony helps us find our way.
That's right.
And let's hope we'll find a way to overturn Roe versus Wade. And here's a prayer for peace of mm-hmm. mind from St. Anthony. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O Holy St. Anthony, your deep faith in Jesus Christ comforted your heart, especially during times of trial and distress. Help us grow in faith so we may experience peace of mind and heart in the present needs. Free us from undue anxiety, needless worry, and burdensome fears. Grant us sure confidence, unfailing trust in God's loving mercy, and daily serenity. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. We're going to continue our discussion with St. Anthony of Padua, with Father Sergio Serrano, with the Hispanic Apostolate of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Josie Duke joins us, Richard Meek with the Catholic Commentator, and Matt Estrade with Peace with the Dementia Rosary. Have a wonderful Monday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.